Today in the Contract or Fight podcast, we're digging into what it means to get eyeballs. I'm going to share with you the best approaches you could take to get the phone to ring with the best prospects in your area and leave all the bad ones for your competitors to chase after. Let's go. Joe, welcome to the fight, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome, Todd. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Is it Joe or Joseph? What's your mom call you?
She calls me Joe or Joey, but yeah. So I grew up working for my dad in the construction business, and I'm a junior. So okay. He's Joe. When it came time to get email addresses back in the day, I could have been like Joe Jr. or Joey or Joseph. And I thought Joseph sounded more professional. So it's kind of my online name, but I'm Joe.
Awesome. So guys, Joe Hughes here with Contractor Dynamics. But real quick, let me wrap up my thought on the whole "what's your mom call you" thing. See, I have a brother named Joe, and when my mom's mad at him, she called him Joseph. So, and gotcha. When she's mad at me, she calls me my full name, which is Daniel Thomas Reber. I go by Tom, so it's kind of funny. She would just Daniel Thomas Reber, like that would be the mad mom voice.
Oh
so
yeah, then it's on
thing. Yeah,
yeah. Well,
so cool, Matt. So you mentioned you worked for your dad. What kind of construction business would you guys do?
So maritime construction, so anything from like bridges and tunnels, marine infrastructure. So think barges and tugboats and a shipyard over here in the East Coast in New Jersey, New York, and really up and down the East Coast. So I grew up in that business as a sixth generation family member.
That's cool, man. So apparently at some point you pulled the eject button and you got out of there, huh? So how'd you end up here?
Yeah. So I mean, most people don't leave a family business that's especially over 100 years old. And I loved it. I was grateful for the opportunity, learned a ton, got to work with family members, and we still have close relationships today. I was at a point where I was about 30 years old and my wife and I are starting to have a family and just kind of thinking about, you know, what's next. And for all those entrepreneurs out there, I guess it'll probably resonate. I just wanted to do something on my own and have more flexibility over what I wanted to create, what I wanted to do on a daily basis, flexibility over location and time and income and all that sort of thing. So that was it for me. It's a tough conversation to have, but ultimately one of the decisions that had to be made. So it was tough, but good.
I get it, man. I worked for my uncle, and when I got out of the Marine Corps, he's a painting contractor, and had a similar conversation that I needed to go do my own thing. And I didn't start a painting business right away. It went into sales and stuff. But anyway, so you're around 30 years old. You decide to go off on your own. Is that when you started Contractor Dynamics?
Yeah. So that was 10 years ago, coming up on 10 years now. So nice. Had the contracting background, had a business degree for what that's worth, and a passion for marketing, and just kind of saw the gap for marketing in the construction industry and hopped right in. So yeah, we've been at it almost 10 years, I guess.
All right. So what you said, you had a passion for marketing. What was it about it that attracted you to marketing?
Man, I mean, this was kind of, maybe dating myself a little bit here, but like before social media really got big, just really like the simple stuff that really is so key today too, Tom, like, having a basic website, showing people who you are, showing off your work, whether that's on your website or social media or wherever else it might be. There's just a gap for like the basic professional aspects of business and marketing in the construction industry. And I think there still is. So that was something that, I saw firsthand, having gotten the opportunity to do it firsthand for my family's business. And then just seeing that throughout the industry, the ability to like make some tweaks and like, have some do something and then see the result, like that tangible cause and effect. To me, that was really cool to be able to track things like, hey, I wrote, 10 blog posts and look, we got more traffic, we got more leads, we made more sales. And you can see that correlation, that causation really there. That was really cool.
I love the marketing game because it's like you're manufacturing revenue out of nothing, right?
Yeah.
And you just go and make something happen instead of, sadly, what many contractors do is they just wait for things to come to them. So guys listening here, this episode's all about getting eyeballs and which is getting the phone to ring, getting attention, building your brand. You can't sell a job. You can't produce a job. You can't cash a check if you don't have a lead originally, a qualified lead, right? So I asked Joe to shoot me some bullets of just some things that would be of value to those of you listening. So Joe, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read one of your bullets.
Okay.
You know, and let's just vamp on it until we go to the next one. We got three or four of them here. And I'm interested to hear some of your thoughts on this stuff. So the first bullet you put here was how your market makes buying decisions. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So I hope people can resonate with this. I think everyone will. Like 70% of the buying decision is made before someone reaches out to a company for the first time. Like that might even be low, right? 70%. Mm-hmm. So what are people doing? Like we're all, you know, doing the same thing, right? We're online, we're looking at reviews, we're looking at different websites, we're looking at different options. We're comparing different quotes and estimates. You know, we're kind of thinking about if it's a home services company, like who we see around town, who we see our neighbors using and recommending in the Facebook groups and things like that. So people are doing their research like long before they reach out to you. And I'll also add to that, like even when people are referred to your business, which is great, right? Like referrals are the best. Even when people are referred, they're still going online to kind of validate and check you out. Like, you know, who are these guys? Let me check out their social media. Let me check out their website. Let me go check out their Google reviews. And if you don't have that basic stuff dialed in, you don't know how much business you could be missing out on simply because people were referred to you and then they go do their research and like, they're just not, you know, maybe they don't trust you enough. They don't see enough of what they're looking for and they never end up contacting you. So, you know, people are online doing that research and talking with their friends and everything like that long before they reach out. It's no longer like, let me just Google someone or let me pick up the yellow pages. I'm going to call the first guy. Like it's a buying process, right? People have ways in which they buy. And if we're going to talk about like social media, think about the last time that you saw, you know, a single piece of content in your social media feed and you're like, yo, that looks awesome. That guy, Tom looks awesome. Joe looks awesome. Let me go click that link, put my info in and drop, you know, 10 grand on a project, right? Like we don't do that. And like so many contractors put out some crappy ad and then your piece of content and expect people to be like, you know, falling all over their heels, wanting to work with them. And it just doesn't work that way. So that's the first big point is like, you've got to like meet your market where they're at. And that's where they're at. They're doing the research online. So you've got to be there. Like how awesome would it be if they're asking questions on Google or YouTube and your content's coming up there and you have the ability to educate them and to build that rapport and build yourself up as a trusted authority, a trusted problem solver. Like that's where you want to be.
Well, the root of the buying decision is rooted in trust, right? I mean, that's people buy from the people they trust. And so at our Mile High Profit Summit, we had Marcus Sheridan talk on our last day there. And he talked about, and I might butcher the quote. I actually did a LinkedIn post with it, but basically he said, the best sales rep your company can have is the customer. And his point was because you have your content out there, you've answered these questions, this and that, they're doing the research, they're educating themselves and selling themselves. Now they're just calling you and it's yours to lose at that point, which, you know, comes full circle back to what you said. Most of the buying decision is already made before they pick the phone up or fill out a form.
Absolutely. I love him. I love him and his book, They Ask You Answer. Such good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just trying, as you're talking about buying decisions, I'm thinking of how I buy. I go on, I Google the thing I'm looking for. The first place I look is reviews. And like, if somebody has 3 reviews and a 5-star rating, I don't give them as much weight as somebody that has 50 reviews and a 4.8. You know, that's just me. So whatever. So that's first criteria. Then I click their website. And by the time I click through to the website, just based on the reviews, I'm pretty much already sold, which is kind of fun. This is just me. And so now if somebody refers me, if a friend gives me somebody's number, I'm going to check them out online, but I'm ultimately going with what my friend said and the experience he had, right? So, but this is all about building your brand. It's all about when somebody's checking you out, you got to look the part. And a lot of contractors, sadly, just don't look the part.
Yeah. And that's the basic stuff. Like we're not even talking about advertising or too much, you know, too much effort right now. It's like the basic stuff. So, I mean, yeah, make sure that's dialed in, right?
Yeah. When I first started figuring out this content thing in the painting industry years ago, it got to the point where people would, because we had our pricing on our website and all this, I had blog posts about how to figure out how much it costs to paint a bathroom, how, you know, like measure it, do this, blah, blah, blah. divide it by this, that's about what you're going to pay, right? And all in. And then here's some factors that make that go up or down, right? And it got to the point after probably a year and a half, 2 years of consistent content, by the time somebody filled out a form on our website, we were basically just going out there. And as long as you didn't throw up on the cat, you were getting the job because they knew they were going to hire you. They were just kind of checking you out at that point. So, all right. Were you going to say something?
No, I mean, that's like, yeah, Marcus Sheridan, I saw him speak last year, talks about, you know, that similar thing, right? The average person that filled out a website form and ended up becoming a customer read like 34 blog posts or whatever on their website, you know? So
yeah,
that data is good so that you can do more of what's working, right? Like a lot of times it's not about, you know, chasing the shiny new object or, you know, the latest hack or whatever. It's like, hey, if it's working, like just keep doing it, right? Or do more of it if you want, you know?
Yep. So I'm working on something that I'm putting out soon that's some of the biggest mistakes contractors make with their marketing.
Oh.
And that's your next bullet point. And so I'm curious what yours are. Mine's not done yet, but I have my first one. So I can share my first one after you share yours. But I'm just curious, what do you see in the day-to-day comings and goings of you and your company and your clients that contractors are just dropping the ball, man?
Yeah. So I guess there's a few things. I mean, number one is just not doing anything, right? Like marketing is one of the pillar systems of any business, right? Like you have your sales system, you have your fulfillment or production system, you have your finance system, operations. Marketing is one of those big systems that you need to have a system for, like, predictably and consistently generating your own customers. Like you do. Every business has that. Whether it's door knocking, whether it's social media, whether it's Google, referrals, B&I groups, like every successful company has a system for generating their own customers that they can somewhat predict with some level of consistency. So just doing something is key, is essential, not key.
Yeah.
And number two, like one of the things we see all the time is like, all right, contracting company owner, I'm doing all these things. I'm working 14 hours a day. I'm wearing all these hats. Yeah. I know that, you know, Tom, Joe say I should be doing marketing, but I just don't have time for it. I don't want to do it. I just want to pay, you know, home advisor, this other guy to like make my phone ring, right? And make, you know, generate customers for me. And that, like, we've been in business a while. So like we've seen, you know, the evolution of a lot of things, and like that worked, you know, back 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, like that did work, right? Before there, you know, so many companies out there, so many more companies on social media, and you could do that. This day and age, like that just does not work. So like, that mistake of what I call like blindly outsourcing it, like blindly because you don't understand it at all. And then you're just outsourcing it, like hoping for some magic, like that doesn't work. And the analogy I use is like, if you don't know the financial numbers of your business, which I know a lot of people don't, and then you just go out and hire a bookkeeper, right? Like you're putting yourself at risk for, you know, getting taken advantage of in the worst case, or, you know, not as bad as that, but just not getting the results that you want because you don't understand that those numbers. Like you got to be able to understand the basics so you can have a conversation with someone you're outsourcing to and you can collaborate with them and hold them accountable and call them out on their BS. Well, it's the same with marketing. Like if you don't understand it, you know, number one, like you're not going to get great results. And number two, you might get taken advantage of, which I know so much, probably everyone listening and watching has, you know? So that's the biggest thing, is like blindly outsourcing your marketing and just like hoping that, you know, some knucklehead in his parents' basement, two time zones away, can somehow generate customers for your business better than you can. Like that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I believe you have to be the champion of your marketing. You need to know what's going on and things like that. And you should be part of the strategy creation of the marketing plan. That's my number one mistake people make, is they don't have a plan, right? Obviously, next to not doing anything. And a plan is really a predetermined course of actions and steps you're going to take to accomplish something, right? And so if you're not part of that, you don't have to be the one pushing all the buttons behind the scenes. But as the owner, I definitely think you have to be, you know, at the heart of that, because you know who your ideal clients are, right? And that's, I think, with this is creating a strategy and a plan that is designed not to just get leads, but to get leads from your ideal buyer. And so talk to us about that a little bit, like with the ideal buyer thing. What are some of the crazy things you've seen through the years, like, you know, outside of maybe just demographics and stuff. But I'll give you an example here while you think. Neil, our CEO, had a remodeling company for years, and he found through tracking their stuff, their ideal client, among other things, were cat people. I'm sorry, were dog people. Cat people were always nightmare clients. Dog people were the most easygoing people to work with. They paid the most. They didn't bother them and this and that. And that literally became one of those ideal client things. When they were interviewing a customer, a prospect, they'd be like, hey, do you guys have pets in the home and stuff? And if they were a cat person, they're like, stay away. So it was, that was all based on like 10 years of data, which is kind of funny, but curious, what else, what are kind of ideal client things have you seen to just made you scratch your head maybe?
Yeah, that's really funny. And it's crazy because that's like when we work with a client, that's the first thing we make them go through like a strategy worksheet where it's like, hey, who's your ideal client? What's your ideal project? Which ones, what do you want more of? What do you want to stop doing? And a lot of like new clients are like, man, like no one's ever asked me that before. I've never thought about that before, right? Because when you start out, it's like, I'll just, you know, do whatever I can for whoever wants to give me money. And like, I did that too when I first started out, right? But then you got to get to that point where you're intentional about that. Yeah. When you were telling that story of dogs and cats. So we had a client out your way in Denver, a roofing company. And we were going through that avatar, that client strategy, that marketing strategy worksheet. It's a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And they're like, our ideal client is a soccer mom who wears yoga clothes, like the Lululemon and all that.
Yeah.
But does not go to yoga, right? So like she's going to drop the kids off. She's going to Starbucks. She's going to Whole Foods, like that whole thing. She's driving, you know, the Tahoe or the Escalade or whatever it is, or the Range Rover. And like that, you know, not that like that's the only person they ever did business with, but like when they did their video content, that's who they're trying to appeal to. And I thought that was probably the most detailed anyone's ever gotten with their avatar. But you might have a few, right? Like you might have an avatar for your commercial business. You might have it for residential. You might have it for different services. You might have like different nuances of people that are ideal for you. And that just helps create a better culture because you're working with, you know, ideal people instead of just trying to bend your rules and values and things and processes for, you know, the whims of your clients, you know?
So as a marketer, what do you do with that info? Like you get that info, like they're a dog person, you know, our ideal clients are dog people, or they wear Lululemons but they don't go to yoga and they drive a fucking Tahoe, right? Like what, I'm just curious, like you get that on your end. How do you create a strategy around that? Like what does that look like?
Yeah, I think what most people want to do is like say, hey, I want to go on social media or Google or whatever, and I want to target just those people that live in Denver that like dogs, that shop at Lululemon or whatever, right? But when you do that, that's not what I would recommend, because what you're going to do is it's too narrow. So you target in a way with your content, right? So it's like I said, the video content they're putting out, it's, you know, if maybe getting a testimonial from one of those ladies or getting a testimonial, video testimonial from a homeowner with their golden retriever sitting by their side or whatever it might be. So you can target with your content, because what you're doing with marketing is you want to hit the right people, the right message at the right time. And if you can connect to those people, they're seeing the dog or they're seeing the lady sitting at Starbucks or whatever, they're going to connect to that. And that's, think about when you're on, you know, social media, YouTube, whatever it is, think about out of all the thousands of pieces of content you see on a daily basis, like what gets your attention? Like what gets you to stop scrolling and pay attention? It's something that's specific to you, right?
People that look like me.
There you go. Exactly.
Right. In a broad sense, right? So like we have four dogs. If I'm scrolling through, you know, Facebook right now or something, and I see a freaking dog, I'm at least, if nothing else, I'm going to slow down.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, that's good. So I just wondered how you approach that. Fighters, let me tell you about Anthony. In 2020, he did $300,000 in top line revenue, lost 10,000 bucks, and only paid himself 12 grand that whole calendar year. And I don't know about you, but that's just not going to cut it. So in 2021, he decided to get involved in our contractor fight programs. And in 2021, he sold 2.8 million at a 50% gross profit, and he actually performed it at a 50% or better as a one-man show while being a husband, father, active in his church, and a full-time college student. He graduated in December of 2021 with a 4.0 GPA. This year, 2022, Anthony is still part of our Battleground program, and he's kicking even more butt. this year, he's on track to do over 3.5 million by the end of the year. So I want to let you know that we're opening up Battleground again soon here. And if you click the link in the show notes or go to thecontractorfight.com/battleground, you can check out what's going on behind the scenes there that has helped Anthony and hundreds of other people have massive wins in a pretty quick time frame in their businesses. Go to thecontractorfight.com/battleground. So I do want to touch on one other mistake contractors make with their marketing. Have you speak to this? Because I'm kind of on a mission to help you marketers with this because I see it as a problem.
Okay. Right?
Nothing you're doing wrong necessarily. I think one of the big mistakes contractors make is they don't understand the time it takes to generate results in marketing. Because it's like you and I talked on the phone the other day. It's like planting bamboo, right? Like you plant bamboo, it grows under the ground for a while. And I'm not saying like you shouldn't have some leads when you hire a marketing company or whatever. But what I'm saying is like somebody might hire somebody to build them a website or do an ad campaign or SEO or whatever it is. They don't understand that, and they don't like to hear this. So I'll say it and then I'll basically throw the grenade in the room right now and then get out of here. And
let you
know this. Right? So it was explained to me when I was learning some things about marketing many years ago that one of the things clients hate to hear is that marketing is just a lot of testing and testing takes time. And they don't understand that it's a long-term investment to market your business properly. Can you speak to that expectation a little bit?
Yeah, totally. Man, I have a few things I want to talk about there. So marketing, yes, it is testing. However, I would say for anyone, if you're looking to hire a marketing company or a freelancer or whatever, don't be their first contractor that they work with, right? Like work with a company that has experience with a lot of companies just like yours, right? If they're you know, marketing for dentists and lawyers and, you know, there are some similarities marketing for local businesses, but like when it comes to there's plenty of agencies out there, plenty of people that work only with contractors. So that means they're not learning on your dime, right? They've already done the learning, most of it anyway. And so you're not starting from zero. You're starting from like, you know, step 6 out of 10 instead of 0 out of 10.
Yeah.
So that's going to be something that's going to be helpful. But yes, there is some testing involved in marketing. And to that, I would say like, make sure that you have a plan, that you're sitting down with your agency or marketer and make sure you have a plan. It's not an overnight success thing. And then make sure there are regular check-ins for, you know, reviewing the data and accountability, really. So at least twice a month, like you should be getting reports and sitting down, you know, virtually or physically with your, you know, whoever you're working with and going through and learning, you know, how this stuff works and you know, not accepting like, oh, we're doing some things in the back end. You know, that's like the famous like SEO thing. Like, oh, we're, you know, the backlinks have to take time and all this back end stuff. Like, yes, there are some things going on in the back end, but there is always an ability to show progress, even if you're not ranking number one right out of the gate, which you're not gonna. Like there's tools and software out there where you can track a lot of this stuff, which makes digital and social media awesome. You can track a lot. So your agency should be able to show you at least progress, you know, right out of the gate. So yeah, that's huge. And we just had that today, Tom. Like we had our sales meeting. And Alex, one of our sales guys, was talking about this prospect, roofing company owner in Virginia, who was like, kind of bought into our process and program and anything like that. He hasn't converted yet, but he's like, oh, well, how quickly can I, you know, start generating leads? Like it's kind of, we're in October right now. I want to try to, you know, ramp up for the next couple months before winter comes. And Alex kind of put the brakes on. He's like, hey man, like this is a long-term thing. Like, yes, we want to show you proof of concept as soon as possible, but like, you know, don't expect 60 leads a month out of the gate. And that was awesome. Like that's, you know, one of our, that supports one of our core values here. So like, that's great. Cause we don't want to, you know, work with someone that's going to, you know, come in and have these unrealistic expectations. So
what would a realistic one be?
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
It's the marketer answer. Right? I get
that it does. Cause it's like, you could ask a contractor, listen to this, what's it cost to remodel a bathroom, right? Mm-hmm. It depends. Like, well, so everybody understands that, but I'm just general rule of thumb. I hire you guys to work on marketing, whatever that means.
Yeah. Right?
Let's just talk online website, SEO, getting found and that shit. Like,
yeah.
How many weeks or months are we looking at before somebody's going to be like, okay, I see this working now.
Yeah, good question. It does depend on a lot of factors. I mean, I would say, you know, 30 days might be a little aggressive, 90 too long. I would say 60 days, you know, whether it's Google, whether it's SEO, social media can be pretty immediate as well. Mm-hmm. Making some tweaks to your website to help it convert better if you're already getting traffic, that can work. But yeah, I would say 60 days, if you're going longer than that and your marketing company is like, hey, you know, hold on, Tom, just wait, you know, mm-hmm. be patient. That's when I would start getting a little bit maybe curious, suspicious, yeah. that sort of thing. But I've heard of things like, you know, 6 months and things like that. That's like absolutely insane. You know, that's mm-hmm. it's crazy.
Yeah. And I think it depends. Their industry has a lot to do with it too. There's some projects like big house remodelers and additions and kitchens and things like that. People are planning, right? Like they're
right.
So they might be in research mode. So it like when I was a painting contractor, generally, whatever we did for marketing, we'd see a return on that with qualified leads within 4 to 6 weeks, right?
Okay.
In most cases, because it's more of a faster sales cycle, right? Very rarely was somebody like saving Pinterest boards or whatever it is about painting their living room. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
But they were doing that for a kitchen or a water feature, a backyard getaway. And they're thinking when Johnny graduates college, but here 9 months earlier, they're doing some research. And so, but yeah, I think it depends is a great answer. So I didn't mean to put you on the spot totally.
There, no,
I get that. Like it just depends. And it depends. I mean, you brought up something that also depends. Like, if your site, and this, I'm a guy who knows enough about this to probably lead everybody astray if we're not careful. So correct me if you want, but like, I know enough about marketing and websites to know that it's not just like the SEO being done right, but the site needs to be built right. And is it responsive to mobile? Is it loading fast? Are there strong calls to action? Are there, you know, cause you can have one, like, anytime I've ever coached anybody and they're like, yeah, I don't have enough leads. And we'll just take the website thing here. My first question is, let me see your Google Analytics. Let's see if people are finding it, right? Because you either have a get and found problem, meaning traffic problem to it. Mm-hmm. And that, so if you have a lot of traffic, but you don't have a lot of leads coming through, now you have a conversion problem, mm-hmm. right? Or you might have great conversions for the 4 people that hit your website a month, you have a traffic problem. So that's why this depends. I just want to wrap that in a bow for everybody.
Because yeah,
it's easy to get mad at the marketing company.
Yeah, no, I'll endorse that traffic and conversion. And the philosophy there, the practice there, and it goes with social media advertising or Google ads or anything, is like you want to look to see where people are engaging, and then you want to look for that drop-off point. So wherever that drop-off point is the area that you're going to address. You're going to triage that and address that first. So that's how you go about that.
And technical talk, that's bounce rate, correct? Is that what we're talking?
A little bit. Bounce rate is the percentage of people that only visit one page on your website and they're bouncing. So you want that to be as low as possible, actually. Yeah. But you know enough to be dangerous.
So yeah, I do. that's why I need you here. Okay. So let me talk about that bounce rate thing. So now I'm going down a little rabbit hole here. So this is probably not a good thing. So reel me back if you need to, but like bounce rate could be, you could have a high bounce rate, but it's on your contact page, right? So somebody might Google you, hit call, exit out of your website. Now they've called the office. So it still is a conversion, but would that show as a bounce rate thing?
It would, but then you could have a tracking number on your website if you're tracking that. I know that's probably more advanced for most companies. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get, you know, people overwhelmed, but You could track that to say, hey, you know, the only place that where you have a call rail number, for instance, where mm-hmm. you can see, hey, we got, you know, 17 calls through the website this month or whatever it might be. So you can, you know, grab the data from different points and try to put it together and, you know, paint a picture that way.
Good stuff, man. So let's talk a little bit about the benefits of building your brand, the payoff that comes with that. I talk a lot about building your brand, and I think to me, I'll just define what I mean by like everything you do, everything you don't do sends a message or tells a story. So I'm always talking about build your brand intentionally in the way that you want to be known in the world. So when I say build your brand, it doesn't mean like go run ads or those are tactics, right? But just always being the type of business owner that I'm always doing something to be relevant in the world and send the right message. That's what I mean by that. So maybe give us your take on the benefits of building a brand and the payoff and all that stuff.
Yeah, very similar. I mean, to me, building a brand, a brand is simply your reputation, right? Like, what do people think of you before they come into direct contact with you? What do people think of Tom Reber? What do people think of Jack's painting, you know?
Yeah.
People have a certain, is he the low price guy? Are you the, you know, a high-end design, build, remodel guy? Like, you know, what type of reputation do you have? And the way we like to phrase it is, you want to become, if you're a local business, you want to become 5 mile famous. So, you know, get everyone, what, you know, you should do whatever you can to get everyone in a 5 mile radius to know who you are and what you do. Now, depending on where you are, maybe you're in a rural area, you know, 15 mile famous, whatever, the numbers are irrelevant. But like, think about that concept. You want to get everyone to know who you are, because you're not just marketing to your next customer. Like, you're marketing to the person that can refer you or mention you or drop your name in a local Facebook group or something like that. So you just want to be top of mind with everyone in your area. And there's so much you can do to achieve that. But like, if you think about that, like, not, hey, how can I put out more content and generate more leads today? But how can I put out more content to let people know what we do in a tasteful, non-salesy way, so that when they know of someone that has a need, or if they have a need themselves, then I'm going to be that top of mind company that they think of first. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. And I'm thinking, so she's 17 and a half now, but when I went to China to adopt my daughter from there, she was 9 months old when we got her, and flew into the middle of the country. And then the last few days were in Guangzhou, which is, you know, kind of an Americanized city to some degree, I guess. Took her out for a walk, had her in the little chest slingy thing, walking my 9-month-old daughter around, just killing time. And I'm hungry. And every restaurant or every place that we ate in these little villages was like, shit had beaks on it. And they were like beetles. I mean, it was, I lost weight in those 2 weeks, man. And so I turned the corner out for this walk, and it was like, I saw the Golden Arches, right? And so I rarely eat at McDonald's, but over there I did, because here's the concept, you guys, there's safety in a brand. Okay.
Yes.
There's safety in a brand. And that's why Joe is banging that drum. That's why I'm banging this drum, is if you want to be the safe choice for people, like, when you build a brand, you're going to get less price objection. They're going to shop around less. I mean, there's so many benefits to that, that we could talk for days on.
Yeah, that's great. I've actually been to Guangzhou. Ran, not by choice. It was we met different flight situations and whatnot. Okay. But yeah, like, and when you have, you know, when you're getting inquiries from people that like want you, and not just any old painting company or, you know, remodeler or whatever, if it's you as an owner, or you have sales guys or whatever, like, their lives are going to be easier. Your life is going to be better, right? You're going to get price shopped less. You're going to work with better customers. You're going to make more profit. You can reinvest back into your business. You can grow with more predictability. And that all starts with branding and marketing. You know, that's not going to solve everything in a business, of course, but like, there's a really strong domino effect from like starting out of the gate with some good branding and marketing and being consistent with that. It changes a lot of things from those better customers. You're getting better referrals, you're getting reviews, and then it just snowballs in a positive way.
Well, I think building your brand is also at the root of the hiring issue that we have. You know, like, there's top employees that are out there in your areas right now, you guys, that don't even fucking know you exist, right?
Yeah.
So they can't come work for you. But if they're seeing your trucks and your guys are geared up, and you see you on social, and you're like, you know, you're always doing something, like you're talking about that 5 mile radius or whatever it is, you're going to have a lot more, I don't want to say luck, because at that point it's not luck, but you're going to have a lot more luck or probability of them reaching out to you when they're, a lot of these guys are great at their craft. They've been staying with the company they're staying at because they don't know there's a better option, and they're sick and tired of their boss's bullshit.
Yeah.
And they would be happy to work for you guys, but they don't know you exist.
100%. That's, I mean, yeah, recruiting is marketing for team members. Like, that's same concept. Yeah.
Yep.
And when you do it right, like, you know, we have people reach out to us. Like, I'm sure you do too, Tom. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I love what you guys are doing. You know, are you hiring? That sort of thing.
100%.
You know, not every day, but like, you know, it happens, and it's a testament to the fact you're doing the right things, right?
Yeah. Well, let's say like right now, you know, you get somebody who decides to participate in the recession right now, and they lay off their team, and they got some good guys. Wouldn't you want those people to know who you are, right? So it's build your brand, everybody. And it's not expensive either. Everyone thinks it's expensive. And the other thing, Joe, that people have with brand building, sorry, I'm beating this up, is they feel like, I'm going to invest all this time and money into building my brands, and I'm not getting leads right now. and they're not playing the long game with it. Kind of back to the expectations thing, that building your brand, you guys, is not something you do one time. It's something, it's an all the time thing. You will never stop building your brand, nor should you.
No, never. And you know, I know that your content is evergreen, but like right now we're heading into winter, and like I think a lot of companies, like their natural tendency is to like, all right, well, winter is usually slow, or you know, I usually pull back during the winter. Like, no, this is the time to get ahead. You know, when everyone else is like pulling back, thinking that they can't do anything or they shouldn't do anything, like the work that you do now is going to show up, you know, 90 days from now, and it will continue to do so. So, yeah, we like to think of it as hunting versus farming, right? Yeah. So, a lot of folks might think like marketing, I'm going out, you know, I'm going to drop a piece of content or do something, and then I'm going to go out and hunt for someone that's ready to, you know, give me 10 grand for a project today or 100 grand or whatever. It's not, right? It's about farming. It's about planting those seeds all over the place. Cause again, you never know in your market, you never know who in your market is going to be ready. Mm-hmm. So you want to be out there consistently. So that when they are, again, you're top of mind.
Back in, I think it was 2012, 2013-ish, right in there, I went to a marketing event. I actually went with Neil, who's our CEO now, and he, you know, him and I had separate businesses at the time. It's just kind of funny. I was at the thing with him, but
oh wow,
he invited me to go. I went to this thing and somebody got up and they dropped some stats based on a shit ton of research through the years and blah, blah, blah. And I'll fast track it like this. She got up and she said, I want you to imagine, all of you right now listening to this, think of your ideal client, the perfect client. Like maybe it's a woman named Julie. Man, if I could just clone Julie, right? Life would be easy. So picture 100 of Julie or Dan or whoever, okay, in your area. At any given time, only 3% of Julie are actually actively looking for the thing you do, okay? And then I'm not going to break it all down, but some are open to it. Some can be moved. Some are curious. Some are just never going to be. There's about a third or so that will just never be interested. So when you take out the 3%, and the bottom 30, you're left with about 67% of the people, 67 out of 100 people who you're not marketing to and not communicating with, because all the contractors and all the businesses are going after the three, right? And that was a huge mindset shift for me that actually propelled me into doing way more content and stuff, which ended up being really helpful.
Yeah, dude, that's so funny you mentioned that. I know where we got our graphic, but it's this triangle pyramid deal, or the 3% on top, and we use that same stat. I don't know if it comes from the same place or whatnot, but yeah, and that's it. Like most of your competition's out there hunting down that 3% that's ready to fork over some money today, right? So, you know, we say that brands are built in the lower 90%, like get to know people, get people to know who you are. And as they elevate to that being ready or almost being ready or research mode, then you've already built that relationship and you're giving yourself a much better chance. And there's not much competition for guys doing that, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. If we're all going after the same three people, that's where the race to the bottom happens, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll beat this guy's price and we'll do this. When you've built a brand, people are calling you and going, I'm hiring you.
Exactly.
It's simple. It's easy.
It's completely different business. It's like completely different. It's crazy.
All right. I got two more things here. I'm going to throw them out there. You go in any order that you want.
All right.
You got how you should approach marketing, your marketing. And you talked about a GC and then, or what that means. And then we got your five pillars of winning marketing. So let's wrap up with those two things.
All right, cool. So yeah, you kind of, you mentioned the general contractor of your marketing. I think you said control over the plan or be involved in the plan, or I forget what your term was, but the way that we see it is like most contractors, like as you grow a little bit, right, you might hire a website guy, like the Google guy, Facebook guy, whatever, you know, a bunch of different people doing different things, graphic designer. And what most companies end up with is they have a bunch of subcontractors that are not talking with one another. And they are, you know, just doing their work and doing their thing kind of in silos. And then you wonder why like your marketing doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's like if you're going to build a house and you just tell all your subs to show up on Monday morning and there's no blueprint, there's no project supervisor, manager, you know, the subs are going to do that. They're going to do something. They're going to do work, but it's not going to be, you know, not going to be anything great, right? The result's not going to be there. So the way that we recommend everyone approach their marketing is for you as the business owner or someone inside your company, if you're big enough and you have a marketing manager in-house, like you've got a general contract, your marketing, right? You've got to be at the center. Mm-hmm. And then you have the subcontractors, you know, around there, and you're coordinating the efforts. You have the strategy, you have the blueprint, you're holding the meetings, you're holding people accountable, you're looking at the data, and you're driving the strategy there. So that's kind of the hub and spoke model, if you want to visualize it that way. But you know, whether or not, you know, even if you don't work with anyone externally, that's completely fine. You're the general contractor and you're self-performing all the work, right? That's all it is, until you get to the point where you're big enough where you can sub some of it out. So that visualization hopefully can save some folks a lot of time and heartache and money too, because that's just so common in what we see in the industry.
When you're talking that, I had the visual of you're getting everyone in the same boat rowing in the same direction, right? And so I'll just use an example. Maybe you're a painting company and you're like, our big goal for 2023 is to add $1 million of interior painting to our company this year. Maybe you're a $2 million company. You want to add a million of interiors because you don't have to deal with weather and it's easier to schedule and it's your sweet spot. Like my old painting business, exteriors, we did them, but interiors were our sweet spot, right? So out of every 100 jobs we did, maybe 90 were interiors. So if that's the case, I want to know that my SEO guy and my ads guy and my Facebook guy and all these people are on that same strategy. Otherwise, you're chasing, like, what's the old proverb? You chase two cats, both, or rabbits or whatever, they both get away.
Yeah, like chase two rabbits, catch none. Yeah.
There you go. So that's what it made me think of, was just being in the same boat and everyone on the same page. And even having, like, I'll just use the fight, one of our strongest marketing messages to contractors is stop stealing from your family. So we want to make sure across all the channels that message is going out there, you know, because that's through our data and just what we know, that's been the thing that really, complements what we're doing and unifies.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we have a client who, doing some SEO, hired some company to do SEO for him, spending a few grand a month actually. And they were ranking for like Hardy siding, like all over the country, like as a local contractor, like they were ranking, getting traffic, but it was unqualified traffic from, you know, guys from across the country just doing some research on Hardy siding, Hardy board, you know? And he just wasn't educated on how to read that report he was getting every month. And just, it went on and on. And, it's a lot of money. It adds up.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And I'll just share one of the other mistakes we've made in the fight through the years is we have like a couple different programs that are for different types of people. Well, if we're not unified in our launches of those programs, then you're stepping on the toes of the other thing that you're trying to sell. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many reasons why you need to have that somebody be the GC of your marketing in your business so they can coordinate the schedule.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. And then you asked about the five pillars.
Yeah, here. Yeah. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. I mean, I can go into depth, but I'll keep it, you know, kind of flyover mode. And this is just, you know, after 10 years of doing this and helping contractors do this, like this is kind of what we've seen. We've developed this. And a lot of, you know, a lot of contractors or a lot of companies in general just do one or two of these pillars and then wonder why their marketing doesn't work. So number one is the foundation. We call the foundation getting clear on what kind of business you want to build, your ideal clients, your ideal projects. We kind of went through that avatar, because you're not going to be able to create any good content or any marketing unless you know to whom you're marketing, right? Like start with the end in mind, like who is that? So number two would be the content, right? It's going to be mapping out your, you know, any videos or any, you know, whatever, any type of content that goes out from your company, whether it's on your website, it's on, you know, YouTube, whatever it is, social media, that content's got to connect with those ideal prospective clients, right? Those dog lovers, those yoga moms.
Yep.
Number three is distribution. You can't just create content or create a website and not drive traffic to it. You've got to, you know, if you're creating social media content, you can run social media ads for a few bucks a day, but just getting your content in front of your market so that you can become 5 mile famous. So distributing your content, your message, you know, that can be billboards, that can be yard signs, that can be truck wraps. Like those are all variations of distributing your message, but you've got to be out there consistently for people to see you, getting eyeballs in your business, right?
Yeah.
So after distribution, we have optimization, kind of a fancy word, but that just means like tracking your shit, right? So you mentioned Google Analytics, right? I mentioned call tracking. You mentioned like if you're going to run a postcard campaign or whatever, just look at your numbers so that you can understand like what's working and then double down on that. And then what's not working, you either make some tweaks to it or just kill it off, right? Mm-hmm. But without tracking, it's just like same with not knowing your financial numbers, like you're not going to be able to grow. And then the fifth part of the five pillars is kind of a three-part pillar, if you will, lead handling, follow-up, and nurture. So have a system for handling leads, you know, automatically, 24/7, 365. That can just be a simple email and text message that goes out when that lead comes in, just to kind of keep that prospect warm until you can get to the phone and call them the next day or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it might be. But just that simple level of like professionalism, like that homeowner, that property owner is going to be like, oh, these guys have their shit together. Like they actually, I got a text, I got an email. Like I'm not getting that from other contractors. And then follow up and nurture, you know, follow up is going to be trying to sell or trying to set as many of those leads into appointments as possible. Mm-hmm. And then the long-term nurture is like, all right, well, you know, I inquired with Tom's Painting today for my interior painting job, but you know, I don't know if I want to get it done right now. Maybe I want to wait till the spring. I'm not really sure. Well, just because someone's not ready to give you a chunk of change today, like doesn't mean they're not interested. Like there's a million reasons why people get busy. They're not ready. They got to wait till they get their money in order, whatever it is. Stay in touch with those people so that 6 months down the road, when they're ready, again, you're top of mind. And they're not like, oh yeah, who's that guy? I heard you talking about this, Tom, on a mm-hmm. on a recent podcast, your painter, the hardwood floor guy. Yep. And they didn't keep in touch with you. I think it was the hardwood floor guy. You forget their name. So like they're not getting repeat business, right? So right. You know, that's a part of it that so many people forget.
Well, you wasted your time and money getting me in the first place if you're not going to keep in touch with me and put me in a database. I mean, I did a video years ago how I think I cost myself about $1.5 to $2 million of revenue in my first 3 years of business because I had no database. I was just getting new customers all the time, and unless they called me back, I never called them because I was an idiot. So, all right. So before I go, I'm going to ask you where people can find you if they want to check out your stuff. We'll put it in the show notes. But before that, I'm holding my readers. I was holding these because I forgot something I wanted to bring up. So sometimes I'll hold something to remind me. So you're talking about being 5 Mile Famous. Dude, it made me think of Eminem and the whole 8 Mile thing.
Uh-huh.
So you need to do like a video, like where you're doing like a rap God thing, man. And it's about being 5 Mile Famous. I'm just telling you, it'd be unique. So
I should. I don't
you
know.
You look like a rapper. You totally look like a rapper to me.
I don't know if the world needs to hear me rapping, but I guess like Elvis said, I think like all attention is good attention. So maybe that'll work. I don't know.
Hey, it'd get a few chuckles if nothing else. I didn't say it was a good idea. I just said it was an idea. So most of mine suck.
So dude, that's one I might delegate, you know. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Gonna be 5 Mile Famous. You know, you got to do something like that, man. So what do you think, Logan? 5 Mile Famous. You like that? All right. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll hit the whiteboard tonight and see what we can come up with.
Yeah. Oh boy. If it works, you can give me credit. If it bombs, you can still give me credit. I'll own it. So.
All right. Nice. I like that. Extreme ownership.
That's right. So where do people find you?
Simple, contractordynamics.com is all our business stuff, all the social media, our podcast, YouTube, all that stuff is linked from there. And then if you want to connect with me personally on Instagram, it's Hey Joseph Hughes. And, you know, just shoot a message, follow us, whatever. We're putting out content every day there. So, yeah, love to connect. And one of our core values is that we are trusted advisors. We love to help people with whatever they need, whether it means, you know, working with us or not. So happy to help and point you in the right direction, whatever it is that you need.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you sharing some wisdom here today with us on building the brand and being 5 Mile Famous and all that stuff. It was good to finally connect. I know we've been following each other for years and appreciate you making this happen, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, Tom. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. So everybody, give us a rating, give us a review, share this with another contractor. Check out Joe at Contractor Dynamics in the show notes. And with that, let's bring in the music and get the hell out of here. I'm out.